ba 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 da ju wa ba 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 da ju wa ba 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 da ju wa ba 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 da ju wa ba 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 da ju wa ba. And you're inside my Fix It Up Life with my wife, Teresa.
And my husband, Mark.
And the road noises you hear in the background are the tires of Ty Pennington's car slapping down the highway somewhere.
That's right. That's right.
You're slapping.
I'm always moving. Those are the wheels of change moving.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, I didn't know. I just thought they were like Uniroyals or something.
You're bringing about the wheels of change across our country. I love that. I feel so comforted by that.
Before we get to where you have been in the storm-affected areas of Sandy out in New Jersey, where are you now?
I'm actually in Florida, just north of Orlando. I've got a couple projects I'm working on, and I'm also seeing some friends that live nearby. So I'm sort of like killing a few birds with one stone.
Wow, friends.
Yeah, you have time for that now.
Well, sort of, yeah. I mean, I don't ever seem to really have time to do nothing. I'm just always doing different things.
Well, that's
so, but yeah, I mean, I've got all kinds of cool things going on. Lots of, building related, but. But yeah, I've just been in New York where I couldn't even get back into because it wasn't really my place was wrecked too. But I went down to New Jersey through Philly to check out, what I could do, to help out the Sandy victims. And it was really amazing too. It's I've been lucky to be a partner with Sears forever. And as soon as I saw that happen, I called them. And the next thing you know, they rallied and They got in contact with the Kmart that's in Toms River, which is right there where they were heavily affected. And, we loaded up a truck full of water and blankets and batteries and supplies. And it was great to be able to take what was really needed. But during that time, we also not only really got to see what was going on in this, we tried to get over on the barrier islands there, and they had shut it all down. It was inhabited. Nobody's living there. So we went to their local high school where they set up a shelter. And just seeing that, the heart-wrenching stories of people that lost everything, man. It was rough. And then we also met some firefighters that also lost, everything they had. And they took us over and saw some of the damage. And I met this one couple that were standing in front of their house that just, a wall of water just took it out. And, I don't know, it was really rough. I've been to some really tough places. I've been to Biloxi. I've been to, New Orleans afterwards. But to be there, literally a day or two after it happened and still seeing, it was really eye-opening. But it's going to take a while before, the rebuilding can start. But it's wow, talk about a need.
And that is amazing to be able to be there just a few days afterward, because I imagine we were at Joplin last year and seeing a place like that months after that, there's been a lot of cleanup and there's been a lot of good people helping and working, but just to see really what's going on really in the time of when it's happened.
And seeing the raw emotion is these guys literally had put this one couple. Well, I also met this couple in their 90s who had no idea what to do, and thank God there were people there that could, bring them into the shelter. That's when you realize, oh my God, think about your other relatives and what would happen if that would happen, your family members, and you didn't know what to do for them. But, so then there's another couple that, they went to go see the damage that had been done to the house, and they had their dad with them that had built the house in the 60s, and he turned around and started crying. He didn't want to see what it had become. He wanted to remember what it was. And then that's just the devastation everywhere you saw. But what was really crazy is seeing all the different boats that were just up against these houses. And then this one couple, their kids' toys were spread everywhere throughout a whole cul-de-sac. And then I think the really eye-opening thing too is realizing that the houses that had been built in the last 10 years that had, a second story and all that were still standing. But the ones that were older than that, were just completely done. And it's weird. It's hard to believe people bought homes right on the water, not expecting the tide to ever come up. And I was going, wow. So it sort of really opened your eyes about how homes should be built, especially on any coast.
Oh, yeah. Having been to New Orleans after Katrina, and I grew up on Cape Cod, so water is a big part of my life. If you're building on the coast and you're not,
12 feet above sea level on pilings. I'm not sure what your plan is. And
Yeah, unless you're an ark. Yeah, it's true.
And this is a good time to announce your new project, Ty Pennington's Ark.
Yes. Seriously, though, man, like, down there, my Lord, like, that's what's crazy is, like, when it deals with water, like, the only thing that survives are the things that float. You know, that's what's amazing is, like, you know, wow, it's just wild to see what you saw, like, these incredible boats that are just, you know, from like a mile away that are like, you know, just washed all the way down. It's just crazy.
Now, when you were trying to navigate down there, even with these firefighters taking you around and stuff, were like just street after street blocked by, I don't know, trees, telephone poles, boats, cars? Like, did you have to like circle around and around and around to get to places?
Yeah, well, I mean, like literally, you know, the police, the law enforcement had blocked down any roads that led. You know, they basically turned it into a funnel so that if you were going to go in that direction, you had to go through where they were, you know, they were directing you. And eventually, you know, you really had to sort of know a fireman or a policeman to get to that, you know.
Get to anywhere.
To be able to get over.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, but it was wild, too, because, like, you know, then you went to the firehouse and you saw all these firemen that had been up for, like, you got to remember, too, they've been going nonstop for 7 days because they started preparing, like, basically Sunday or because they knew the storm was coming Monday, you know, but they just knew that something was going to happen. You know, the fire department definitely knew something was going to happen, but what was interesting is once it did hit, like, nobody ever got a break. It just kept coming, like, you know, had to rescue this, save that, rescue this, save that, and the guys just never got a break. And then, like, you realize why those guys, you know, they don't just fight fires. You know, next thing you know, they're delivering water to areas where people, they just put it out on the corner so that people know that the supplies are coming, that they can, you know, if they're stuck somewhere. And then they're also bringing in, you know, generators to give power whenever needed. But the fact that there's so many people, like especially the ones on Staten Island too, who just barely got power now. I mean, like it just opens your eyes to like natural disasters and how we all need to really sort of like have a little bit better understanding of what we need to have in our garage in case something like this happens again.
That is really such an important point. And we learned that too, because I mean, we were without power here outside of Philadelphia for 5 days and it was cold, but we didn't go through what everybody else experienced on the coast and in New York City. But just getting a little piece of that, I mean, we don't have a generator at our house. We probably should.
No.
Yeah.
We don't, although we could hook me up to a treadmill. maybe get a light going.
Better you than me, I said. Better you than me. Or maybe bottle up our 4-year-old's energy and be able to power it off of that.
Oh, if he could light a grid, whatever that is. But,
oh, my God. That's actually a thought I had. That's a thought I had. We did a build for Extreme where we sort of gave these guys a basically they fed the homeless. And so we gave them a whole new kitchen where they could do it in, but we also gave them a little play area for people's kids, and their own kids. And I was trying to figure out a way that they could use kinetic energy to power the house on the playground. How awesome would that be if you could create like a playground where if you got the kids to play, they would generate energy that would actually go back to the grid of your house?
Yes.
To keep the lights on, like kids. Seriously, we need you to go outside, get on the seesaw. You know, we need some lights.
Just keep swinging on that swing. Just keep going. Yeah, that would be awesome.
And that you know, actually, I just checked with a doctor, and you're technically crazy.
That's pretty good.
In a good way. It's like benign superhero crazy, but it's good.
Well, speaking of Extreme Makeover, the 4 episodes that are coming up for the holidays, we're pretty excited. I think everyone's pretty excited to see them.
To have you back in their living room.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I'm excited. And loud as ever, hopefully. No, I am too. I think it's great too because it's about the holidays, and the one thing I think our show is really good at, and it is about sort of family, and I've heard from so many people that it is a show that they watch, you know, with every member of their family, and that's, they really look forward to it. So I'm really excited too that it's it's airing again, and you know, I mean, those guys are my family, you know, and it's interesting, but it's anyway, it's just such an awesome thing, and I'm busy trying to figure out ways to create something very similar to that, because it's just it's really kind of a crazy thing when it's a TV show, because the positive things that happen, you know, with that go well beyond TV ratings. You know, it's like what you do and impact the community, showcasing people who do amazing things, and then seeing, you know, hundreds, sometimes thousands of people come together to do something phenomenal that benefits not only one family, an entire community. It's like, it's great that it's a TV show, but more importantly, it has a bigger impact than that. And so I really, like, I'm so glad they're coming back on, because you really want that. Just to be able to go across the country and see other projects that are started because we inspire people to volunteer, to get together, team up, and do something in their community that really makes a difference for someone or for more than one person. And I think, you know, to know that we can sort of snowball that, can sort of be the lead inspiration, really, you know, it's a good thing to be part of. That's all I can say.
And it really is so inspiring, too, because, you know, we were able to go to a handful of Extreme Makeover projects. And it's, you know, the story of the family that you help, but it's every single volunteer that steps foot onto that job site and to help. Every single person has their own personal story that is just
right.
So amazing, why they've decided to give up a week of work and to come out and to travel how
right.
far they came to come and help somebody that they don't know. It's just so, it's so inspiring, and I'm glad that it's airing around the holidays, because maybe it'll help everybody sort of, you know, help with, you know, soup kitchens and giving, you know, gifts for kids who are needy and the whole thing, you know, during the holidays.
Yeah, that's what really blew me away, is when I would meet people that, like, they would come out and want to volunteer for 3 hours, and then they'd end up staying 3 days, and you're like, wow, you guys are still here? You know, and, like, that's when you know what you're doing is really phenomenal, when, you know, people, and then the ones that have helped before come back. Like, I don't know if you guys met the painters that were in Joplin, but, you know, we met them up in, like, up in the Northwest. It was, like, in Washington State or something, and they you know, they've come to, like, 6 different builds. That's what I love about it. It's sort of like unsung heroes that never make it on camera, but these guys are, like, incredible, because they volunteer their time. They don't sleep for 3 to 4 days, do incredible things to make sure that somebody has something, you know, really sort of turns a page in their life. But it's not just a couple of people. It's hundreds of people that really do exactly what you just said, which is, like, put their families, their life, their jobs on hold, and really focus on someone else for that week. But what's amazing is how that week of them giving changes them in a very positive way as well.
Well, I'm pretty excited, because I'm sure that there's something next up your sleeve, because I don't think that America can look at you and not think about trying to give back and to help somebody. I mean, there's such a connection between you and helping people that just inspires so many people.
Whenever I start doing that, I'll be sure to let you guys know. And you guys do your best and let everybody know. So yeah, our show's coming on, as you know, Monday after Dancing in the Stars at 10 o'clock at night. On the season finale of Dancing with the Stars. And so then I think we'll be on, like, every week during the holidays after that. So
perfect.
That'll be fun.
All right.
Good catching up, Ty.
We'll
drive safely.
We'll say goodbye.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye now.
See you.